So go ahead and open your Bibles to Mark chapter 10. That's where we're going to be today.
We've already read the text twice.
Most people blow over these four verses as they're just a little sentiment that Jesus likes children. But it is so much more significant than that. So much more significant. In fact, these four little verses fly right in the face of any notion of earning your way to heaven. So let me be clear. All Scripture, up on the screen, Scripture flies against any notion of trying to earn your way to heaven, or even contributing a little bit, like you might get 10% credit. No. There is not a more powerful example in all of the Bible of salvation by grace alone than today. Jesus looks at these children and he says, the kingdom of heaven belongs to them. What? Think about it. What does a baby, a child, have to do to get into heaven? Nothing. What do they have to offer? Nothing. A child, and the Bible says they were small enough that he picked them up in his arms. Swooped them up. These children have absolutely nothing to offer Jesus. And yet, he says to the kids, theirs is the kingdom. The kingdom of heaven belongs to them. Whoa. Powerful, powerful illustration here. To the disciples who thought the children were bothering Jesus. Think of this. Here's a side note. This is a commercial break. Bothering Jesus. Any kind of teaching that you need to go to someone else because if you go directly to Jesus, you're bothering him is unbiblical. You don't find that. Any kind of teaching that says, don't bother Jesus, go to his secretary, is unbiblical. Jesus is not even bothered by little children coming to him. We can barely say that. We have less patience than that. They have nothing to offer him, and he says, let them come to me. Theirs is the kingdom. They're not bothering me. Back to the text, Mark 10. Don't miss this. Jesus has a massive rebuke to his disciples. Massively. To the point where he is angry. You guys didn't think Jesus got angry, did you? Do you remember as a kid pushing one too many buttons on your dad? And then you go, oh no, I have poked the bear one too many times. Jesus is angry here. And so when you read Mark 10, 14, do not read it with Jesus says, oh, don't stop them. Let them come. Jesus is angry and he says, do not stop them. Let them come to me. The kingdom is theirs. Now, you have to follow this because context matters when you read your Bible. Don't just rip a verse out of context. In the context, in all three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all three times that this story is recorded about Jesus blessing the kids who have nothing to offer them, and he says, theirs is the kingdom. In all three, right after it, is the story of the rich young ruler. You guys know the story of the rich young ruler? It is the extreme opposite of childlike faith. It's the extreme opposite. You know what the rich young ruler says? And I quote, I have kept all the commandments since I was a youth. All three stories. It's you got to have faith like a child. The kingdom belongs to them. Immediately, same day, they roll into this rich young ruler that says, what do I got to do to get to heaven? I've kept all the commandments since I was a youth. And Jesus doesn't even say to him, no, you haven't. Jesus doesn't even say, prove it. Don't worry, your kids are not a bother, I promise. He doesn't even say, prove it. Jesus tells him one hard thing, the rich young ruler, and he walked away from Jesus. And the disciples were so dumbfounded, they asked, who can be saved then? Because they had it in their minds, if you had wealth, that must mean God's favor was on you. If you were being religious and you're doing the religious things, you're in. And Jesus is like, I just told you in verse 15, unless you receive the kingdom like a child, this is scary, you will never enter it. Those are severe words. That's not a suggestion or a life tip. We already went over this a few weeks ago, but a child, think about it. A child has nothing to offer. A child is weak. They are helpless. They're unworthy. A child is dependent. They are humble. They have nothing to brag about except how fast they can run. Just ask a kid how fast they can run and watch the show. That's who they are. They have nothing to commend themselves for. They're not bringing anything to the table. And here is the point. Unless that describes your faith, you will never enter the kingdom of God. Does that not concern you? So here is up on the screen. There is no greater demonstration of your salvation by God's grace alone than a child in the arms of God. If you ever wondered how you are saved, it isn't because you're awesome or you did good or you can look back over your life and say, I was mostly good. You have nothing to offer God. And he says, put your faith in me and your mind. Theirs is the kingdom. If Jesus was going to teach baby baptism, this would have been the place to do it. He would have been like, all right, bring them over, get the water. But they didn't. Babies belong in the kingdom. And this flies right in the face of self-righteousness. It just cuts to your heart. This flies right in the face of legalism. You guys know what legalism is? Legalism is thinking if you follow the rules, you're good. If you follow the rules, then you're in. Legalism also dishonors Christ. It dishonors his suffering on the cross, that you think you can kind of help him save you a little bit. False teaching isn't just error, it's evil. But I want to shift a little bit here, because this is serious and pastoral. What happens to babies that die? Do you ever think about that? Miscarriages? What happens to babies? Heaven. Instantly. And that's a bold statement, Jason. Hear me out. There is not a single verse in all of Scripture that says all babies immediately go to heaven. Probably because there's too many weirdos in the world who would take and do something horrible with that. But let me just give you what Scripture does say about it. You ready? Mark 10, the kingdom belongs to these. Matthew 18, 10, beware that you don't look down on these little children. I tell you, this is Jesus talking, that in heaven their angels are always in the presence of my Father. Does that not comfort you? Now here it gets more serious. Old Testament, 2 Samuel 12, David says of the death of his infant, I cannot bring him back. But one day, I will go to him. He's going to see him again. Deuteronomy 1,
Why were the kids allowed into the promised land, but the adults were kept out? The parents were kept out. It literally says the little ones are allowed in because they didn't know their right hand from their left. Little ones. Jeremiah 19. God is angry. He is angry in Jeremiah 19 about children that were offered as a sacrifice to an idol. And do you know what he says? He says, "You filled this place with the blood of the innocent." Another one, Ezekiel 16. These were pagan nations in Ezekiel 16, offering children to pagan idols. You should look it up. And do you know what he says? God says, "Those were my children." What happened to those babies? They're with him. And then lastly, 1 Kings 14, God curses the entire household of Jeroboam and says, "None of you guys will have a funeral. You'll be eaten, picked apart by birds in the wilderness." Okay, kids, you can go to bed now. This is why I'm not in charge of bedtime stories. But he curses the entire household of Jeroboam and says, "You will all die terrible deaths." And then it says, "Except for the little one, because in him something pleasing was found to the Lord." What was that? I just say all that so that you know that I'm not like making up sentimentalism and just trying to tell you things you want to hear, but it really is the heart of God. It is the character of God. And the only way that you're going to miss out on all that King Jesus has prepared is if you never surrender your life like a humble child and put your faith in Christ. That's the only way you'll miss out on the kingdom. Maturing in the faith is trusting less in yourself and more in Jesus. Maturing in the faith is not going, "I hope I was good enough, God," but to go, "Oh, I'm seeing that I have nothing to offer you, and I'm going to rely 100% on your grace. And if that's not enough, I don't have a backup plan." In a moment, we're about to celebrate communion. And we invite you, if your faith is in Jesus, that he's the one that saves you from your sin, we invite you to join in with us. Let's pray. God, I ask that Christ would be honored more than anything. Even as we celebrate communion, may it not just be something we do, but that it reminds us of who is actually doing the saving. And so as we sing to you, as we hear your word, we worship you, would you change our hearts and help us to get closer to reality? It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.